Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here, Process Spotlight. Doc is here in the studio. We're going to do an important show today about the church and apostasy. I'm going to define apostasy for you in just a few minutes. But I want to read for you a verse in Matthew, because this is really interesting. And I got a hold of this just a few weeks back. By the time you watch this, it's several weeks back, but I was studying and I came upon something pretty interesting, and it's right here in Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 through 5. Let me read this for you. As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, of course, we call this the Olivet Discourse, and you'll see the same thing. Is it Luke 21? Yeah, same Olivet Discourse in Luke. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. So it's him and just the disciples saying, tell us. Now, they've got a question. By the way, they got the same question that you and I have been asking for a decade now, and that mankind's been asking for hundreds of years. And there's nothing wrong with having these questions. They said, tell us, when shall these things be? And of course, the things he's talking about, some of them are what he mentioned in the first couple of verses, and we're not going to read those. When shall these things be? And then they said this, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? Now, I believe they're talking about his second coming on the white horse, Armageddon, because they didn't understand the rapture at this time. But either way, it doesn't matter. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? It's about four questions there. And Jesus is going to answer them. And he's going to tell them, us prophecy preachers and you guys as well, we tend to dwell on the exciting things, don't we? Earthquakes in diverse places and wars and rumors of wars and the sun turning the blood moons, and we tend to dwell on the real exciting things. But what does Jesus say here? He gives us, I think, what's the real first sign of the end time. And it's not what you think. It's not a battle. It's not a fall of a nation. It's not the mark of the beast. It's not one world currency. What is it? Well, let's look here. So after they'd asked these questions, when shall these things be? What's going to be the sign of thy coming? And what's the sign of the end of the world? And what does Jesus say? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Then he goes on to explain that, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Let me read a statement that I wrote down here. This is the very first warning that Jesus gave when answering his disciples about the signs of his coming and the end of the age. Before he ever mentioned wars, rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, strange things happening, he said he warned them about deception. What's he saying? He's saying at the end time, before the rapture, in the last days, those men will deceive and be being deceived. Deception is going to be here. It's really the apostasy that the Bible talks about, and I'll explain that in just a minute. So we're going to talk about deception. This is prophecy, my friend. This is big prophecy. Deception in the last days. Is it here? Stand by. Welcome, everybody, to the show today about deception, the church and apostasy.
Yes.
Deception in the last day. We're going to define some things for you in just a minute. Doc is right here with me. By the way, he's on the same page on this. He and I see this, I think, exactly the same. And I'm going to read to you out of my book, The Great End Time Apostasy. She'll put that up later. And you can see the book. Doc has some materials along this subject, too. Right on page 3, the falling away. Yeah. The word apostasy is not in the King James Bible.
No.
We get it from the following verse, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you. There's that deception again. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's the Antichrist. Falling away is the word, the two words that we get the word apostasy from.
Right.
And the falling away is where we get the word apostasy. I just said that, and I'm reading it here. As defined in Webster's is defined in Webster's 1828 dictionary as an abandonment of what one has professed, a total desertion or departure from one's faith or religion. And I wrote this as a summary. Basically, apostasy is turning away from the truth.
That's it.
And the where is the truth?
That's it.
Right here in this book. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And apostasy is falling away from the truth. I tell people all the time.
I think it's word is falling away, but I think it has more than that. Apostasy is a willful decision to turn.
Turns completely away from it.
From truth.
Yeah.
And go the other direction. Yep. That's why on the front of your book, you got a guy standing to the cross, and then eventually he's started, and then he's turned away.
Yep, there's three guys there, and they're walking away from the cross.
Yep.
And when I wrote this book, that's what I had in my mind, and I told my wife, she does my covers, I told her what I was looking for, and she hit it right on the money here. And there's men, maybe preachers,
but it's
turning
a
from truth.
It's a willful decision.
Yeah,
but that willfulness starts with being deceived. That's why you read it a moment ago, being deceived.
And then deceiving.
And deceiving others. And that's what happens, especially in church. And by that term, even though I don't believe at all, the Bible talks about a universal church. But the Christianity of our day is being led by many that have willfully allowed themselves to be deceived on various things. And as a result, once it's entered the mind, they begin to dwell on it. And it's not long until they walk away from what has God said about something to what I think God said about something.
Yeah.
And then they deceive others.
Well, let's define a few words here. of course, Webster's 1820 dictionary is what I use. And
yes.
The very first warning Jesus gave when answering his disciples about the signs of his coming and the end of the age was he warned them about deception.
Deception.
As we said in the introduction.
And he'll go on in Luke chapter 21, and he'll bring that subject up again.
Yeah?
Yes. Deception.
So, deceived means to be led into error. So, to be deceived means someone has led you into error. I see that all over Facebook and YouTube and podcasting. I hear it in churches.
Yes.
I hear people in discussions sometimes, and I say, that's not right. They're off on. That's not what the Bible says at all.
Well, it's kind of like this, Dan. Everybody says, man, I like that McDonald's hamburger. And I say, you must have never had a real hamburger. once you taste the things of the Lord and see that they're good. Once you have something, then whenever something comes, you say, wait a minute. It's a check and balance for you.
Now, we'll get to it at the end, but we're going to give some ways to keep from being deceived. And that's one of them is if you saturate your mind with this book, you may not even know you learned anything. You spend time in the Word of God. When you hear something that doesn't line up to this, and your antenna will go up.
Well, I've heard old-time preachers when I was growing up say, you know, I heard people say, well, you just open your mouth and let the Spirit of the Lord fill it. He said, yeah, I may fill it full of nonsense unless you've already put in your mind what God's Word has said.
Yeah.
So you might not realize it, but the Holy Spirit can draw upon it.
Deceive is a verb. Deceive means to ensnare.
That's
an interesting thought there. To deceive someone is to ensnare them, like snaring a bird or a squirrel, a hunter would do, to ensnare them. And you know, you may put something nice to eat, and that animal will make its way. It's being ensnared.
It works, too. Yeah. My dad was a professional fur trapper.
Yeah.
I know how all that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means to mislead. To deceive means to mislead the mind, to cause to err, to cause to believe what is false.
Yeah.
To disbelieve what is true.
That's exactly right.
To impose on or to delude. And he gives a verse here in Webster's 18:28. You won't see this in the new dictionaries. He gives a scripture here, Matthew 24:4.
Yeah.
Take heed that no man deceive you. The verse that we're using here. He gives another one, 1 John 1:1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves.
It means that somebody can deceive you, or you can let somebody deceive you, or you can even deceive yourself. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah, who knows your heart? The Lord, and only the Lord.
It also means to beguile or to cheat.
Yes.
Now, a deceiver. This is a noun. This is a person.
That's right.
A deceiver is one who basically fits these definitions. Mm-hmm. But here's what Webster said here. A deceiver is one who deceives, one who leads into error, a cheat, or an imposter.
That's
pretty serious description there.
It is.
Of a guy who's deceiving people. I believe this last day's deception is actually related to apostasy.
Yes, it is.
That we just read, because that's what apostasy is.
If you walk away from truth, where are you going to go? The natural man naturally wants to feed upon that which is not spiritual.
Yeah.
And so, Dan, you mentioned it a while ago. Listen, you read a portion of it about the Antichrist being revealed there in 2 Thessalonians chapter. Verse number 11 says, chapter 2 said, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion.
Yeah. And you mentioned, and I didn't know this, and I checked to make sure you're right.
Yeah.
You said that word is only used once in the entire Bible.
That's the only place in the Bible where the word delusion is found.
And you're correct. We checked it at breakfast this morning.
Yes.
I got my phone out, and you were absolutely right.
And part of being deceived, you gave Webster's explanation there about to cause somebody to disbelieve what is true and believe what is not true. And then he says, and to delude. I looked up deluding in his book, and it says the act of deceiving by falsehood.
Mm.
So this delusion that is going to sweep the world after the rapture is taken. I know a lot of people think that rapture's not till the end of the tribulation or the middle of it, but I'm here to tell you, a delusion could not sweep the entire world as long as the Holy Spirit that indwells a believer holds it back.
Mm-hmm.
But once that is removed, the deception that it's when it says God shall send it to them, it really is not saying that God is actually sending it to them. God has removed any protection from it.
Right. He took the restraint away.
The natural tendency for anybody who's a leader, who particularly at that time, and we're seeing it now, they're not going to lead them into spiritual truth and spiritual life. They're going to lead them into deeper and farther darkness. And this is what's happened. The sad thing is, Dan, some of this has obviously already crept into the church, or he would not have talked about the falling away in the first two verses that you just read a while ago.
Yeah.
The falling away, as you've already pointed out, is turning from the truth. And I'm here to tell you, we're living in a time where in Christianity, the great number of people that have moved into some kind of falsehood, some kind of error that is not based in the Bible, it's mind-boggling. It's scary, the apostasy that has come into the church.
And you know, the Bible says that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth.
That's right.
The church is not the truth. The church is the promoter and protector of the Word of God, which is the truth.
They are the one that is supposed to be anchored in the truth, the Word of God. And what's it say in the book of Proverbs or in the book of Psalms? If the foundations be destroyed, What shall the righteous do? Well, let's apply that to the church. Let's apply that to Christianity. And if you cannot see that there's an erosion of biblical truth undergirding the greater majority of ministries in our world today, you're already being deceived.
So there's two things happening. Of course, the Word of God's number one.
Oh, yes.
The church's job is to promote and protect the Word of God.
That's right.
Promote it, protect it. I think churches should be printing the Bible.
Just like Israel was made the guardian, receptor, and guardian and transmitter of the Old Testament, I am convinced that God has made the church, the local assembly, responsible for it in this age.
Yeah. Now, the problem today is most churches, even some of our crowd, have lost the Word of God. Now, some of them don't know they have. We've moved to other versions.
Yes.
We've got this mentality that only the originals are perfect, and there are no originals.
There are no originals.
It's a scam. And we've got preachers getting in their pulpits now, and they'll read a verse and they'll say, "Well, what that really means in the originals is, there you go.
Wouldn't be wrong to read a verse and say, now, that verse or that word is from a Greek or Hebrew word that has something. But to say that it comes from the original, wait a minute, but the word came from an original word. Yeah. But the original text is not there. The original manuscripts don't exist.
And the truth is, there were a lot of Hebrew words and Greek words missing in the documents that the translators had. That's why there's italicized words in our Bible.
That's part of the
reason. We don't want to go down that road
today. Yes, but when people, I'm teaching right now in our Bible college the history of the English Bible, and it's amazing the demonic attack on the Word of God.
It started in Genesis 3.
It started there, but on this side, after Christ's resurrection, man, if you cannot see it, even the question, somebody wrote to Peter and said, well, some of these things that Paul is saying are hard to understand.
Yeah.
Not hard to understand. You just didn't want to understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where part of this comes in, Dan. It's not hard to understand. It's hard to accept sometimes.
Yeah. And so we got the Word of God issue. A lot of churches have lost their hold on it, and they don't understand what's wrong with all the different versions that have changed and really corrupted the Word of God.
So sad because of it, yes.
And if you read the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, what I found, and I have this in my, mm-hmm. my King James book that I wrote, the KJB.
The gold standard.
Yeah. I talked about the church in Philadelphia was given an open door that no man could shut.
That's right.
That's the age from 1700 to 1900, yes. somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. Two great awakenings in there.
Exactly.
Tremendous movings
of
God.
Really? For 1500 years, let's say, until 1850, there was no other text even considered.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. George Whitefield was not a Baptist.
No.
John Wesley was not a Baptist.
But you know what they used?
They all had the same Bible.
Everyone
was using the King James
right.
Bible. And they had a few differences, some baptismal differences and things like that and other things, but they all had the same book.
They used it from the same text.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's not true anymore.
No,
it is confusion now.
Since 1888, 89, that's where it began. You mentioned a while ago for those 200 years there. We need also back up and say that's the exact same time when the attack against biblical science, creation science, began.
Yeah, evolution.
Evolution, all of this together to bring our nation and our world to a time of great apostasy so that they won't know the truth.
So the seventh church that takes place after the Philadelphia age ends,
mm-hmm.
the Great Awakenings, multiple millions of people saved during that time. Then that church ends and it's the Laodiceans.
Yeah. The church of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And things have changed now.
Yes.
And now.
Self-centered.
They've lost the Word of God.
That's it.
And God says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich.
That's right.
And I share with people, what's the most valuable thing to God? It's his word.
Yes.
He says, I've magnified my word above even my name.
Yes.
And what the Laodicean church people lost is the word of God. That's where we are right now.
In the Laodicean church, he gives four, five things there about them, you know, buy me this, and you think you've got fancy clothes and all these kind of things. Anyway, it is obvious that a part of the falling away, Dan, and a part of the apostasy comes from leadership being deceived and then deceiving. You read it a while ago. And what's happened in the Laodicean era, we have watched it where church leadership and the church itself has changed what they call success. Success today is how big of a number do I have, how much money comes in, how many people come through the door.
How many followers I have on my Facebook, YouTube channel.
And when I was a boy, I never heard about any of that. Success, when I was a boy growing up, success was stressed of sticking with thus saith the Lord. And the Bible says, moreover, it is required in a man that he be found successful. No, that he be faithful. And the lack of faithfulness and diligence to the Word of God has allowed leaders to be deceived, and now they are deceiving others.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break, and we're going to jump into some important stuff here. We are a viewer-supported ministry, as almost all of you know. We could sure use your help. There's an 800 number that comes up every now and then on the screen. Call that number right now or during business hours, and you can give a donation over the phone, or you can get the address to mail a check. We operate off the prayers and the financial support of you, the listener, and you're why we're here. And so if you can help, we'd appreciate it very much. And we're going to stay here as long as God's people keep us on the air. We're going to stay here. So, Doc, I want to make it very plain, and we've shared this before. Apostasy is not lost people. It's church people.
That's right.
It's the saints. Mm-hmm. It's God's people. A lost person can't turn to the truth. He doesn't have the truth, and the truth's not in him. It's God's people who go into apostasy. You're old enough. You're older than me. You've seen a lot of people go off in other directions.
Lots.
And we're seeing more of that today than before. People are weak today. Well, people are not strong Christians.
The Lord said, when he returns, shall he find faith on the earth.
Yeah. And faith, you can't have faith without the Bible. Faith is connected to the Bible.
Absolutely.
Faith
is believing what God has said.
That's right.
Well, if you don't know what God said, what do you got faith in?
Yeah. And so we've got a lot of weak Bible believers out there.
Yes, we do.
Now, let me make a statement here, because what I'm saying is this deception, we've always felt like deception is going to come from the Antichrist crowd. No, the deception is within the churches. It's our own people.
Well, the lost crowd is already under a sense of deception.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're watching it right now on a political level, and you watch all, it's unreal.
And we're going to be discussing the UFOs next week, and that's all part of this, by the way.
Yeah, truly
and
is.
We're going to hit on that next week with all this new stuff
coming out. I'm amazed at how much of that's even gotten into our circles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're deceived. People think,
right,
that there's little green men running around or fallen angels flying around in UFOs.
Maybe better. Maybe next week. We'll bring us a green man, have him.
He'll probably want too much money. Probably want us to take him out to eat. Where are we going to take that guy?
To the moon?
I don't know. He'll probably
to the moon, because he's going to eat that cheese.
Let me say this.
Oh.
Some ministry leaders within our own, some of them even within our own Bible-believing circle, have become spreaders of deception.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, we've got preachers in our country attacking other preachers. Some of them been dead for years. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, we got people that are bringing accusations that can't be proven, especially some of them from 30 years ago. I mean, how do you know it's true or not? You know, we shouldn't be believing anything without proof and facts. And it's destroying us.
Well, here's my question about it all. I don't care who they might be, they can have their ideas about it themselves. and maybe even talk just among themselves. But how does, my question is this, how does any of that advance the cause of Christ?
Doesn't. And I think it's pride. I think it's what second of is it 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, or is it 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy?
Yeah. 2 Timothy 3.
In the last days, perilous times shall come. 1. Why? Because men shall be lovers of their own self.
Yes.
Boy, that's jumped out at me in recent days. That's the whole list goes back to that one statement.
Here's the thing. Again, we see that in culture, and the church is supposed to affect culture.
Yeah.
But culture has affected the church.
Yeah, because we're weak, need, yeah. and we're not doing anything anymore.
And I'm old fashioned. I know I've got on a colored shirt today because that's what Dan and Lucretia tell me I'm supposed to wear for TV.
But well, they say the white is
you'll
bad
never
for
find
TV.
You'll never find me in a church without a white shirt. So everybody's, you're stuck in the old past. Well, I'd rather be stuck in the old past than take it all off and act like the heathen.
Yeah, and so it's that. When you tear someone else down, it kind of makes you go up. And that's what it's all about.
But it really doesn't.
No.
It really doesn't.
It's destructive. He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it's folly and shame on him. It's serious stuff with God.
Well, here's the thing, Dan. So at Antioch, everybody ran around saying, look, you guys need to get saved because I'm a Christian. No, the Bible says they were called Christians because they acted like Christ.
Well, let's finish. We got to just give a few of these before we go. Practical, how to not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, know the truth. Know the Bible.
Yes, indeed.
Love the truth. Love the Bible. Get in it. Spend time in the Bible. Number two, test everything. The Bible says try the spirits. I like verse. Try the spirits.
And you try that by the Bible.
Yep. Make sure that what you think you're feeling lines up with the Bible. If it don't, then it doesn't line up. Number three, you got to get some discernment.
Absolutely.
You got to get wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. We've got to have some wisdom and discernment to be able to weed through this stuff. Be careful about these signs and wonders things and these miracles stuff that people are bringing up all the time. Don't be quick to believe that stuff.
That's right.
And a lot of that's nothing but hype and lies. And watch out. Don't get itching ears.
Yes.
Having itching ears, wanting to hear some new thing.
Feed your new man more than let your old man.
Yep. You got one or two over there that
I
haven't mentioned?
No, you're fine.
All right. Have good fellowship.
Amen.
Hang around the right people. You get around disgruntled people. Yep. Haters, negative people, it's going to affect you.
Absolutely.
Get away from those people. There's some podcasters out there. You need to turn them off. Quit listening to that junk. You need to guard your heart.
Amen.
And, that's it, Doc.
Amen.
Folks, deception is here now. Watch out. We'll see you next time. We're going to talk about UFOs next week. Keep your eyes on them skies.